looked at Colossians 3:17, and then the end of that chapter, looking at how the Lord has once first place in our life, that He wants every area of our life. And we talked about how the necessity of giving God every area of our life. Tonight, I thought I would take the other side of that and look at what about when He is given a place in our life, but not the place, but not the first place in our life? Something that we are tempted and very prone to do, and many times that's where we are. We'll give the Lord a place in our life, but He doesn't have first place. And I thought I would look at some accounts from the book of 1 Samuel, and taking some familiar passages probably to you, but looking at accounts in the life of King Saul that are an indication of the Lord maybe having a place, but not the place, not that first place in his life. And so let's go to 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. In 1 Samuel 13, they have come to a very critical situation. Saul is, he's reigned in Israel now for 1 year. It says there in the first verse, he reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, we see him there choosing men, both he and his son have Jonathan have taken a garrison and Jonathan wins a great victory. In the fifth verse, and that's the verse I would look at, the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Mishmash eastward from Beth-Aven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, and the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. Some went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. They're in a pretty serious situation. Saul had gathered together. He had 2,000 with him, and Jonathan had 1,000 with him. You can see that the odds against them are just horribly high, and they are afraid. So they're in a very critical situation, and there's a problem here, and that is that Samuel had said that he was going to come. In verse 8, it said Saul tarried 7 days. According to the time set that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And so here there is no one here to sacrifice. Saul is looking for Samuel to come. He's looking for Samuel to come and to pray for them there and to offer sacrifice. Saul here in the ninth verse, we see a disobedience. We see that something that was not his place to do. It was forbidden of God for him to do that, for him to come and to offer this burnt offering. But Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And so You know, here it's obvious that Saul has a place for God. It isn't that he just is putting God off, but he's not following in obedience. And it's in the 10th verse, it says, "It came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him." Here we see that Samuel had offered that. You know, sometimes I believe the Lord wants us to come to a place of total dependence upon him. You know, here it is, the end of the seventh day. Samuel said he'd be there, but hey, it's evening and Samuel's not here yet. We've got to do something. And it's interesting that as soon as he had in disobedience offered that, Samuel shows up. Is your patience ever wear thin? And you think, well, I know what the Lord says, but I got to do something. And I know this isn't what it says in the Bible, but I got to do it. That's the way we see many people acting. They have a place for God in their life, but when it comes really down to the crisis situations, the Lord is not first. And so that's, I believe, what we see here when we see here in the 11th verse, "And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, well, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. And I've not made supplication to the Lord. So I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." He forced himself. I just have to do this. Even though it's against the Lord's command, I've got to do it. He forced himself because of the situation that he was in. Boy, when I read these passages, I recognize that we get ourselves in some of those same situations, and how important it is that we rely upon the Lord, that we don't let our patience run thin. Saul didn't wait till the eighth day. He waited. It was the seventh day, and well, I don't see Samuel coming. So, you know, Samuel was honoring his commitment, and he was coming to do the job that he was to do that was not Saul's to do. What is the result of that? What is the result of that we see? And we see that in verses 13 and 14. "Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, that thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now the Lord would have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." You know, the Lord was revealing that which was in Saul's heart. The Lord brought this test to Saul. I don't know what hindered Samuel that he didn't get there until the 11th hour, But I believe that the Lord providentially hindered him, whether he told Samuel, I don't want you to go yet, or whether, I'm sure there wasn't a traffic jam on the interstate, because they didn't have that, you know, but Samuel was providentially hindered. And I believe here, because the Lord was going to reveal something that was in Saul's heart. And when you see what is there, the Lord had great blessing for Saul. The Lord had blessing for Saul where he could have had the kingdom, and he could have had it perpetuated with him. But the Lord said, "No, I can't give it to you. You have shown your disobedience. You've shown that you don't keep the commandments of the Lord. And now your kingdom will not continue. But I am now, says the Lord, has sought him a man after his own heart." The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. "And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people." This is one of those situations in life that come very subtly. And as I said, in our impatience, in our thinking that we have to take things into our own hands, you know, it's kind of like I mentioned this morning, in putting God first, we have to put our mind under God's mind. We have to put God's mind first. Lord, I want what you want. And that's all I just want what you want. You just let me know so I can do it. But here it is man's mind above God's mind. And that's what took place here. Saul put his mind above God's and the commandment of the Lord. And we see the great loss that it was there to his life. I'd like us to go to another account, and we go there to 1 Samuel in chapter 15. 1 Samuel in chapter 15. And here we have where the Lord brings gives a command to Saul. It says, "Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." Samuel says, the Lord sent me to anoint you, and now listen to the words of the Lord. He gives him a very clear warning, a very clear command. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay them both, man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass." Saul has a command from God. Here are a people in great wickedness that has gone on even, and certainly even back to when they were coming into the land. But it was God's will that they would be utterly removed. And so Saul gathered together the people together. And then we see when we come to, if we go on down, verse 7, he smote the Amalekites from Havilah until you come to Shur over against Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amaleks, alive, utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. There we see a clear, this isn't quite so subtle. This is just a clear disobedience of a command. He decided that Agag should be spared. They decided that the best of the sheep and the oxen, the very best, that they would not destroy them, but only that which they didn't want, that was refuse, you would throw it away. What is the Lord's? The Lord here comes to Samuel in verse 10, and he says in 11, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. He's not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Samuel really liked Saul. He really loved Saul, and it says that a few times here throughout the scripture. I mean, from the time that the Lord chose Saul, and Samuel thought, boy, this is the guy. This is, and Saul in those first times, you remember, he wasn't a man that was proud. In fact, he didn't think he was the one for the job, and he has to be reminded of that later when he was little in his own eyes. That's when the Lord called him, but now when he is king. But anyway, we'll get to that. He is disobedient, openly disobedient to the Lord and to the Lord's command. And so we drop down, as Samuel meets Saul, verse 13, Saul says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, for I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Samuel says, "What's this bleating of the sheep? What's this sheep that I hear? And what is this lowing of the oxen that I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." You see, Saul had a place for the Lord. He says, We brought this best. Think of the sacrifice we can make to the Lord. Here we have saved the best for sacrifice unto the Lord. We talked this morning about the Lord doesn't care about what we're doing when our heart is so far from Him. And this is what we're going to see is what happens to Saul. Samuel said, verse 16, "Stay, and I'll tell you what the Lord hath said unto me this night." 17, "When you were little in your own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" Saul said to Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the sheep of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice them unto the Lord." Saul denies he's done anything wrong. He doesn't see he's done anything wrong. He said, the people did that, and I saved Amalek, and I brought him. Oh, the words that Samuel brings are words that that ought to ring in our hearts. Verse 22, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." You know, there, Samuel brings something out that we need to understand. You know, I don't think there's any of you would ever consider being involved in witchcraft. You know, that's something, that is evil, that is bad. But what does he say? "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." We don't want to be involved in idolatry and sin, but it says stubbornness. How many times are we just stubborn? You know, we allow the stubbornness of our own hearts. We need to understand what God sees in that. This is something that is, when God relates the rebellion to witchcraft and stubbornness to idolatry, he just says, "You've rejected the word of the Lord, and he's rejected you from being king." There we see the judgment that was brought upon Saul. And then, you know, when we go on down in verse 24, the true motive really comes out here. Saul said, "I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice." And he asked then for Samuel to pray for him. But there we see that, this is a common sin. It's not subtle, but it's an outright disregard for God's word that Saul did. He listened to the people. "Hey, Saul, we don't want to destroy these. Look at the quality of these sheep. Look at the quality of these oxen." Well, so, of course, Saul himself was saving Agag from being destroyed. But that brought judgment upon Saul, and again, he is told that it is that heart that he has that's keeping him. That disobedience that has caused the kingdom to be taken from him. I'd like to look at another account. I'd like us to jump ahead to chapter 18. In chapter 18, and we see something else here with Saul. In chapter 18. This is after David, there's been the slaying of Goliath, there's been, David has been brought in to be with Saul and to go out and to fight. So there's a lot that has taken place there, there's been a great victory and David is having victory. And we come down to verse 7 of chapter 18. "And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed but thousands. What more can he have than the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Jealousy. Jealousy was in the heart of Saul. God told him that somebody else was, he was going to give the kingdom to somebody else, but Saul wasn't ready to let go of that. And when Saul sees someone that is taking his place, jealousy burns in his heart. You know, jealousy is a horrible thing. Jealousy is something that's one of those things we need to put away from us, not to be jealous of another in their position. And this is certainly what is happening here. It was kind of hinted at when I was reading in chapter 13 through this whole section of verses. I'd never noticed before, but that was back when Saul and Jonathan had first gone out to battle and Jonathan had won a victory with his 1,000. And in the fourth verse of 13, it says, "And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines." It wasn't Saul that smit the Philistines. It was Jonathan back in chapter 13. It kind of struck me, you know what? Saul made it sound like he did that. I think he was even jealous of his own son, of the victory that was there. But anyway, he couldn't accept another being king. And when we come down to the 28th verse and the 29th verse of this chapter, we see that jealousy has now turned to hatred. It says, "And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David." And that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. There we see, and it goes on to in chapter 19, which here then is really a whole segment of scripture that begins with Saul out to take David's life. But just that first verse of 19, "Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David." Saul tried in many ways to take David's life. He allowed that jealousy. He allowed that to turn in, and it turned into hatred. It was that which destroyed Saul. What do we see here in these verses? First of all, Saul put his mind above being obedient and trusting God back there when this kingdom was first taken from him. He put man ahead of God. He listened to others. He feared them, and he followed them as well as his own disobedience. He couldn't accept God's will to put another in his office. And so we see Saul, where his legacy is marred. If only he had put and kept God first in his life. What happens when God isn't first in your life? Here we see what happened in Saul's life when that took place. You know, when I was going over this, I thought of some others. I remember Moses. Remember Moses when he disobeyed the Lord and he struck the rock, and the Lord told Moses that he wouldn't enter into the land? You know what? Moses accepted that. He accepted that. Moses went on and served the Lord. Moses was a great man of faith. He lost the privilege of leading Israel into the land. But Moses, in fact, the Lord took Moses himself. You know, what a blessed thing it was that he kept. He didn't allow that to destroy him. And I've often made a comparison between David and Saul. What was the difference between David and Saul? You know, we can look at a time in David's life when there was great sin in David's life. What was the difference between David and Saul? You know, we saw here, I just read briefly where Saul asked Samuel to pray for him. But you know, Saul didn't keep his heart. That went on to jealousy and on to hatred that burned within him. Saul's legacy is awful. David's. Yes, there were consequences for David's sin. There were consequences that he had to pay for that. But David went on to serve his Lord. He went on to serve, and you know, when we go there to Psalm 51 and we see that confession of David, when David just pours out his heart to the Lord, he recognizes what this has done to him when he tried to hide this, and what it was like when he carried that sin, and what a blessing it was to him when that was confessed and it was cared for, and he could go on and serve the Lord. That's what the Lord wants of us. There aren't a one of us that haven't, in some ways and probably many ways, that we've failed our Lord. But the Lord wants us to confess that. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to pick up where we are, and we can't go back. We can't go back and change where He wasn't first in our life. But we can go from here, can't we? We can go from here, and we can put Him first. And Lord, you are my all. I want your way. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, that I don't ever put you just in a place, but Lord, that you're first place in my life. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we've looked at the life of Saul today, Lord, we see a man that had a great start. And yet, Lord, as he put his own ways ahead of yours, and we see him losing the blessings of God. We see him. We see him becoming a murderer, with hatred in his heart, and remaining that. Lord, Lord, it grieves our hearts to see that. And yet, Lord, we recognize that we are men of like passions, and Lord, that could be us. And so, Lord, we pray that you might help us to keep close accounts, to guard our hearts, Lord, to guard our hearts with all diligence. And, oh, Lord, to put you first in each area of our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your...